Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Excuse me.
The reading appointed for the Transfiguration celebration is found again in Matthew 17. It says there, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him, and Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, we will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah.' He was still speaking with them when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified, but Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by your holy word, transform us from what we are by nature to that new nature. Reveal in us your glory, not because of what we have done, but because of where Christ went before us. As we see him revealed as true God on the Mount of Transfiguration today, encourage us in as we follow him on his walk, on his walk to Calvary. Strengthen us this day by your word. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I can still smell the pine needles. Obviously not with my nose today, but in my mind. I can still smell the wood smoke and the little mildew that was on the canvas of the tent. I can remember that so vividly from my childhood. My dad used to take me camping on the weekend to make it something special. Now he's got an RV, and wherever he goes, well, he's got all the conveniences of home, and that kind of makes me a little sad. Living in the world, living in the world can be exhilarating, a little like camping. When we're young, everything is new and different, and it's interesting. When my grandchildren were younger, they used to giggle about the littlest things, the simplest things. There was newness in everything for them. And yet as we grow older, what once was new becomes old hat. We build around ourselves a vehicle, so to say, a vehicle of familiar thoughts and things so that we can drive around life in it like that RV, comfortable. How I wish that those familiar thoughts and things were all good. Life could be so much more enjoyable for us, but instead we find a certain familiar sadness and sameness falling over everything. We're disappointed over and over again by nearly everyone and everything sooner or later. Friendships wane and relationships are betrayed. Love is spurned. Honest concerns reviled sometimes. Cars rust. Houses fall apart. Money is lost. Important conversations are forgotten or twisted around. These experiences cover up the windows of our life with the dirt of suspicions and anger and grudges and disappointment and depression. And this darkness closes in around us. This is the way of the whole world. And this darkness that closes around us is not imagined. It is the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death. It's the darkness of the grave. Wouldn't it be nice to not be cynical anymore? I think about this every time I watch the news now. Wouldn't it be nice to not be suspicious anymore? But how? We live in a way, we live in the way of this world. And if we live in the way of this world, then we will have reason. We will have reason to worry about the activities of others when we can't keep an eye on them. Wouldn't it be nice to not be angry anymore? Wouldn't it be nice to not be frustrated and disappointed, depressed anymore? But how can that be? Things just do not go our way. We live in this brutish world of ours, and as we have to teach our children, it doesn't care and it's not fair. We're all going to the grave. I don't think Peter, James, and John were thinking about these truths and the predicament that they were in when they followed Jesus around in his earthly ministry. They were caught up in the spectacle. Jesus miraculously fed thousands of people. He goes up upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's transformed. They were caught up in these sights. Peter proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then, not long after that, Jesus has to rebuke him because Jesus had told him he was going to Jerusalem to die for us. And Peter didn't want that. Peter wasn't looking at the reasons behind it all. He was looking at the signs and wonders. How quickly the dirt obscured their vision. How much they wanted to see just bright light. But Jesus would not have them live in the way of this world. And he doesn't want us to live in the way of this world either, in the darkness of cynicism and suspicion and frustration and anger and depression. He can't bear this to see it be this way for us. When God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, he didn't create them to live in the way of this world as it is today. He made a perfect world for them. A world without all of these awful things that we deal with all the time. He treated them constantly to the fruit of his labors. And everything was perfect. There wasn't any cynicism. There was no suspicion. God never lies. There was nothing frustrating for them. They could do what they needed to do. They didn't know anger and certainly not depression. Everything was good as God had pronounced. Everything was perfect. And he knew it. This is how they were to live. And this is how God made us to be. Our lives were meant to be shining vehicles to carry us through this life deathless unto heaven. How sad God was when Adam and Eve broke this perfect world with their rebellion. How sad he was when the grave of the whole world was dug that day and darkness fell upon all their descendants, a shovel full at a time. That's us. The way of the world became the way of the darkness of the grave, the valley of the shadow of death. and everlasting damnation. Walking the way of the world is going somewhere that we ought not to be. Trespassing, crossing the line, surrounded by sin, living in sin, and dying at the same time. Why do we go this way? Why is this a part of our nature? It's because we're born into this world following in their footsteps. We are born with their nature. When we're young, I think we all think it can be different somehow, that maybe we can change. But in the end, it's no different for us than it has been for all the generations that came before us. We're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus cannot bear to see us so. And so he came to do something about it. He stepped into our universe from far beyond it. The Creator into his creation. He laid aside his power and his glory. And he became one of us to begin a rescue mission unlike any other in the history of the world. Peter, James, and John, they sensed that Jesus was different, and we would probably too, but they were looking to see his power. That's what they wanted most to see, and they were mostly disappointed because that's not why Jesus came, to show off, to give displays of power. That wasn't what it was about. Could they see what was really going on? Well, at times, the Spirit revealed it to them, and we're the same way as they are. We cannot see what the truth is about Jesus apart from the Spirit working in our hearts. When Peter, James, and John reached that mountaintop, Jesus showed just for a moment a little bit of his divine nature. And yet that glory was not the power of God unto salvation. It was just a fact. Jesus was showing them that he is truly God and man in one. And the good news that he was about to bring into the world through his death and resurrection, that hadn't yet been written. That hadn't yet happened. He would go back down from that mountain to the valley of the shadow of death, to Jerusalem, into the world where we live. A real human being. He really does know our weaknesses. He really did deal with all our temptation. Today, in the light of Jesus' face and the brightness of his garments, we still are dazzled. Still reminds us that there are things that are way beyond the dirt and fogginess and grime of this world. But that transfiguration glory is just a foretaste of the real glory that lay before the apostles and the prophets, what lies before us. By faith, not by sight, we see the shining countenance of God. Every time we hear that blessing at the end of our service, we are reminded in faith that he has turned toward us not in anger, but with fatherly divine goodness and mercy, and without any merit or worthiness in us. By faith, we see beyond this world's tiny little slice of reality, what we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears. And that faith, that doesn't come because we figured it out. It doesn't come because we put the facts together. It comes into our hearts because the Spirit works through his word, his powerful word, to bring about faith in our hearts so that we know of nothing to trust except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hearing that he came and lived among us as God and man in one, the sinless one among sinners, that is such good news to us. We see the living one walking among the walking dead. living a life that we could never live, a perfect life as we were meant to live. And then we see him as true man give that up for us on the cross, and as true God walk free from the tomb on Easter morning to satisfy God's justice and his love all at once for us. Though we were as scarlet, he has covered us with that gleaming white robe of righteousness, and it's not ours, but his. Believe it. That's why on the cross he cried out, "It is finished." He did this work for you and for me. We don't need to walk in the way of the world any longer. It's true, we live in the world. We're going to see all the troubles of this world still, but we're not of this world anymore. Death no longer has any power over us, just as that tomb couldn't hold Christ on Easter morning. You're connected to him. Where he goes, that's where you're going. He's gone through death into life, that's where you're headed, through that grave and out the other side into heaven. Believe it. It is finished. That's what he did for you. That's what is glorious on this day. That's why this divine service that we have is a mountaintop upon which we see the glory of the Lord. Here Christ preaches his true glory, his love for us. Now it's true, we'll soon go back down into that valley of the shadow of death, but how good it is to be here now. How good it is to hear his voice. We understand why Peter wanted to stay. It is glorious to be here before the shining face of Christ revealed through Moses and the prophets and the words given to the apostles. Wouldn't it be nice to not be cynical anymore? If that's in your heart right now, turn away from that. That's not for you any longer. Christ is for you. We have the truth, and the world cannot overcome it. Doesn't matter if other people are insincere. God is sincere. And the world will perish. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to be suspicious anymore? Wouldn't it be nice if lies would just go away? Well, they're not going away, but we don't need to harbor in our hearts that awful suspicious attitude toward everybody else. We need to trust in the Lord. He will take care of us. Wouldn't it be nice to not be angry anymore? We don't have to be. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not for us. Wouldn't it be nice to not be frustrated and disappointed and depressed anymore? If these things are part of your thinking, remember, cast your anxieties upon Christ. Trust him. He loves you. Live in that joy, the joy of knowing the one who loves you and who has saved you. Think on that constantly. And in your life, think about the opportunity that you have to reflect Christ to other people so that they might see him and hear of his grace and know that they too have a Savior. Reflect him in ever-increasing measure, just like Peter, James, and John, so that others will see what we have seen by faith and know that God has revealed to us the meaning of Christ on the cross, of the bleeding hands outstretched in blessing toward you and me. Reflecting Christ means receiving what he says and then transmitting that word clearly and without any changes. Reflecting Christ means testing and approving what is God's good and perfect will. And often that good and perfect will doesn't line up with what we want. Thank God that he has worked faith in our hearts so that we want to see him and not all the stuff of this world anymore. This is what, by the way, is what is meant by the image of God. We want to be perfect reflections of God. That's what the new man in us would be. That's what that image of God restored in us is, a reflection of God. Good and righteous and loving in every way, right now. Saved from the fire, we're like smoke-covered mirrors. And God is polishing us in this life so that we might reflect Him more and more. What we fail to see with our eyes, let us by faith test and approve, so that we know what is His good and perfect will. We will see that everything that is happening to us, all the difficulties we face, the ups and downs of this life, the trials and tribulations, all of those things, God is somehow turning around for our good. And I can't tell you in your individual lives how He's doing that, but I think many of us, when we look back on some of those bumps in our lives, we see Him at work. We ought to want to know that and live and speak that and nothing else. No grumbling, no complaining. Prayer, yes. Calling out to the Father for assistance and help. Just like Jesus in the garden, yes. Your will be done, we pray. It's in just this way, then, that we become beacons in this world, reflectors of the glory of Christ from beyond the tomb, reflecting the light of truth from beyond the skies. May God in His grace and goodness cause us to step from the comfortable vehicle of our life out into this world with His message of grace. And then we shall bring His goodness as a light into this dark world. And we ourselves will smell the pine and the canvas of our short earthly lives and be reinvigorated. And we shall walk in newness of life, and the difficulties and the pine cones under our sleeping bags and the trials and the inconveniences will be little mountains to climb with our Savior. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.